The Monty Show, Monday, June 4th, 2018. It's not cold outside. It's beautiful outside because we've got the NBA Finals. It's over, right? Like, it's over. He scored 51 and lost. It's over. I could be wrong. I don't know. We'll talk NBA Finals. We got to talk about the Major League Baseball draft. See, I think the draft is sneakily underrated, Jake, in baseball. Because not a lot of people love the NBA or the MLB draft like they do the NBA draft or the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So I think it's been underrated.
I mean, there's just so many people drafted that, you know.
And Jake is a poor loser in Fortnite.
Nah.
He's a poor, because he doesn't know how to build, which is not my problem. I'm a master builder. Jake is not.
Okay.
That's all you have to say is okay?
Yeah, we'll get to it.
We will, because that's a lie. I will admit now, much like Rudy Giuliani, I play fast and loose with the truth.
We get it.
I'm a terrible builder on Fortnite. I'm learning.
Takes time, dude.
I'm learning, but I'm a terrible builder. Let's start with the NBA Finals. After you find me on iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast, just search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show is where you find me on Twitter as well. Make sure you subscribe. 2-0 Warriors. Steph Curry goes berserk in game two. There was no chance the Cavs were going to win that game. What do you make of this series? First of all, have you been entertained by this?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
You have.
I mean, it was a ton of fun watching Steph go nuts last night. I mean, it's entertaining. Steph's
the
basketball.
Warrior fan.
Well, hey, man. You can be the Cleveland fan over there and hate on Steph and blah, blah,
but
blah.
But I'm not a Cleveland fan.
You're not.
Fan.
I'm saying the proverbial you. Like, Cleveland fans can be mad and say
right,
that
good.
Steph is some terrible player and he doesn't show up. I'm pretty sure he showed up.
Do you? Why this all of a sudden everybody says Steph's a terrible player?
Well, because I think Cleveland fans like to hate. They like to hate.
But let's be honest about what Steph is. Steph is boom or bust. Because for a guy that relies on the three ball as much as Steph Curry relies on that three ball, I think that's why he goes through long spells where he doesn't play well. Because when it goes in like it did last night, good Lord, he's unbeatable.
Yeah.
That fall away three, the heave at the end of the shot clock, like, I mean, he was just dominant. But boy, there's a lot of stretches where that ball's not going in. And that's when guys like KD or Klay or even Draymond at times really step up. So, you know, I think he's boom or bust.
But I think a lot in this particular series, they haven't been physical with Steph really at all, in my opinion. Like, they haven't pushed him down. We haven't seen the bully LeBron, you know, like we did a couple years ago where he just straight up pushes him down, like intimidates him physically. We haven't seen any of that this year. And meanwhile, LeBron's taking a beating. I mean, he really is. Like, his eye is messed up. Like, they're fouling him hard.
How about that
like,
eye poke?
You know what I mean? Like, ooh. So they're beating up on LeBron, and everybody on the Warriors is kind of just fine. Like, they're good. You know, and this is the year, like we kind of all thought it was, where it's not good enough to just be LeBron and everybody else anymore. Like, it's not good enough.
Well, I tend to be less dramatic about it. I just think the Warriors are a better team. You know, the physical part of this series, I'm tired of talking about officiating. I think it's one of the most difficult games in the world to officiate. That call last night where Steph fell on LeBron's legs and there was no foul call, I can see that both ways. 70-30, I think you're never going to call that because of the angles and how fast that happened. It's really hard for officials to get back there to see that full. But you got to call that because he took out his legs. He didn't allow LeBron James to land. So I think it goes both ways with the officials. The physicality thing is pretty remarkable because for a team complaining about free throws, the Cavs got far more free throws. And I thought they got far more calls than the Warriors did. Now, they shot 26 and the Warriors shot 21. They got 20 points off of free throws.
Yeah.
That's a lot for the Cavs. The Cavs are not a good basketball team. Why can it not be that simple? And I know we've talked ad nauseum about this. J.R. Smith is not a good basketball player.
Yeah.
Not George anymore. Hill missed a critical free throw. You know, like, you look at their starting lineup. What is Tristan Thompson really? He's 11 points in 5 boards for a center in a series where the opponent doesn't really have a center.
Yeah.
They start JaVale McGee and he dominates. Like, if you're Tristan Thompson, I mean, don't you just put your balls in a jar on the shelf and be like, I got beat by JaVale McGee? Because that's the truth of it. I don't know how you spin that if you're Tristan Thompson. This bench is garbage. Absolute garbage. I mean, and the guys who played major minutes, you know, Green gave 6 points, 2 of 7 shooting. That's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Korver, 1 point on a free throw. No, that's it.
Yeah.
Really, no other stats to even mention. I'm sorry, he had 2 rebounds. What are we doing?
Well,
this team is terrible.
Dude, that's the situation they've been in all year, though, right? Like, that's who they've been. That's who this team is. They have no bench. It's LeBron and Kevin Love, and that's about it. Like, that's what they've relied on, and that's why I say the East is, like, just weak. It's amazing that they're even in the finals. Like,
is it over, though?
Oh, I think it should be over if it's not. Like,
it's over.
Yeah.
I don't see how, after that game one loss, I tweeted a video yesterday that just, it was hard to watch for me, frankly. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. After J.R. Smith, you know, goes bonehead on that free throw.
Yeah.
They all go back to the bench. They don't say anything for 90 seconds to each other. The coaches are outside the huddle trying to come up with game plans. And they come back to the huddle and Tyronn Lue walks in. And LeBron, you can see LeBron say to him, did we have a timeout? And Lue says yes. And LeBron just lost his mind. And, like, put his head in his hands and crossed his arms. And it's like, wow, this is incredibly awkward because this entire crappy basketball organization just failed the best player in the world.
Yeah.
And a guy who was having a, as you called it, a historic performance.
Totally.
Having the best singular performance in a postseason I've ever seen. And the entire team failed him.
And, by the way, that performance was only good enough to keep him in it. Like, that's what we're talking about here. Dude's putting up 51 points, and they're just in it. They're not even dominating.
How do you explain that?
Dude, they're not as good. They don't have the same amount of talent. That's how you explain it, right?
He goes for 29 and 13 assists, LeBron, 9 rebounds, and they lost. They got blown out by 19.
Yeah.
Like, you're terrible. You're not good. Like, yeah. You're just not a good team.
Yeah.
And I hate to go here because I'm almost tired of hearing it, but how does this guy say, yeah, my heart's in Cleveland. I'm going to stay a Cav. I want to be in the land.
You're being a victim at that point. Like, LeBron's being a victim at that. Like, if you're going to say...
There's no way he's staying there.
Like, that's just not realistic. Like, why would he do that? Like,
I have no idea.
He doesn't like Dan Gilbert. We all know that. That much is very clear. Why would you stay?
You traded the entire team to make this guy happy, and it backfired in your face.
And by the way,
oh.
Once you lose the finals, all these minutes are wasted minutes that he's never going to
get back. And they are high, high intensity minutes, taking a toll on his body.
Yep.
I mean, and I hate saying this because it's almost like I'm wishing it, and I promise you I am not. Watching these NBA finals, I'm just waiting for him to get hurt. I'm waiting for the eyeball to explode on the poke in the eye, or I'm waiting for something catastrophic because he's just taking an ass whooping.
Yeah.
Like they are just hanging on him, not getting all the calls, which I guess I understand, but it's amazing that he only shot 9 free throws in that game last night. Right. I don't know how he goes back there. I really don't. And the more and more I go through this NBA Finals, the more and more I am convinced just reading the tea leaves and Twitter and the rumor mill. And I am convinced LeBron's going to L.A. He's not going to go to Philadelphia. Like, there was an article in Philly today that said that Joel Embiid would have to become a role player if LeBron goes there. And it's like, dude. You invested
Dude,
in this guy.
He's one of the best big men in the league, bro.
Well, I don't see how you make him a role player. Right?
Covington's a role player if LeBron goes to that team.
No, Embiid. No, dude. Embiid would have to be a role player. Because if you put LeBron on that team, what has he already said? Essentially, tea leaves, rumors, sources close to LeBron have said he doesn't want the ball in his hands. He doesn't want to be the guy bringing the ball up the floor.
So Embiid's a role player to do that?
Yes, because you have to at that point you're playing three guards.
Right.
And he's going to be minimized because you are going to have to play up and down the floor very quickly. You are going to have to run your ass off. And if you just do the numbers, who matchup wise, how does the East match up for Joel Embiid? Not well. There's not a ton of good team. Like, if he was in the West, okay, I could kind of see it. You know, the Dwight Howards, the Davises, those guys are not in volume anymore. This is an outside in game, right? Like, the interior player is very limited in this league. I just don't see how he'd be the focal point of a team anymore. And the other thing is, what happens when Ben Simmons, if, and I know this is a big if, but what happens if Ben Simmons comes back with a jump shot?
He's one of the best players in the league already.
So he is right now without the jump shot. You're going to add LeBron. Those two guys are getting volume touches no matter what. What, all of a sudden we're going to play a guy with his back to the basket in the post and take the ball out of there?
That's simplifying him, though, dude. He's more than that.
You would have to strictly run high pick and roll just to get Joel Embiid the ball.
Right, but who's going to rebound the ball?
LeBron, Ben Simmons is already one of the best rebounders in the NBA, Covington. Like, this is my point. They don't need Joel Embiid to rebound.
It's a philosophical thing. They can say that he's going to be some kind of role player. That's not who he is.
But to make it
like,
work,
if you're going to make him a role player, you might as well trade him,
dude.
Because there's no reason to make the dude a role player.
It's not. You don't need a reason. It's the reality. I think you're missing my point here. It's not that you need a reason. That would be the reality of the situation. Think about this, man. You're going to start him.
Would be okay having Joel Embiid just sit on the bench.
No,
I
need you to hear this because I feel like you're being difficult now. You're not sitting him on the bench. There's no touches for him. He's not going to get his 21 and a half points a game. Because there's too many hands now. There's too many hands. You look at guys like Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons is a monster. If you add another high volume monster, who's gonna suffer? You're not taking the ball away from Simmons, who already, by the way, is a dominant low post player, and you're certainly not telling LeBron come here for fewer touches, right? Who's the guy that suffers? JJ Redick? I don't think so. He's not a star on that team anyway. So it's not going to be guys. Are you telling me it's guys like Covington? No. What does Covington matter? He doesn't matter. It's Dario Saric. He doesn't matter. Everybody gets pushed down a rung now for LeBron to fit into that. And if you have a solution, I'm wide open to it. How does Embiid keep his touches in that rotation? If you are starting. And what's their starting lineup? Simmons, Covington, Saric, Redick, and Embiid. Right, that's their starting lineup. So who's going to come out of that lineup? It's probably, I don't know. I would imagine it's Robert Covington
or Saric.
I think Saric is too valuable to them because he rebounds really well, and I just think that, I don't know, man. I think it's really difficult. It would be. And again, I'm not saying you can't make it happen, because you can make it happen. But I just don't see how you keep Joel Embiid at those numbers. I just don't see how you can expect him to shoot, you know, what does he probably shoot? 18, 20 times a game? How are you going to keep him shooting the ball even 15 times a game if LeBron James shows up? It's not going to happen. Joel Embiid becomes a role player, a secondary player, a rebounder. So it's not a choice you're making. It's the natural flow of things.
Right. Yeah.
But you disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he's too good. I think LeBron, you can't have it both ways. So LeBron doesn't want to bring the ball up. He doesn't want to have to put that work in, which I completely agree with where he's at. That's what you should be saying. Like, that's the natural progression.
So now it's Simmons and Redick who have to play.
Right.
Okay, so those two are in for
are,
sure.
Are locks, yeah. So right? It would be Simmons, LeBron, Embiid, Redick, and yeah.
I don't know what you do with that because Covington's going to go way down. But I don't look at Robert Covington just based on the numbers as like some vital guy. Yeah. Here nor there. I just don't think he's the great natural fit that everybody makes him out to be in Philly. I think it's Houston or Los Angeles, period. I think those are the only, and I think it's the Lakers because he's really smart. He now sees who the Warriors are. He now sees that if you want to beat the Warriors, you really only need two stars. That's it. You need two stars and five really good role players. That's what you need to beat the Warriors. So if you had PG and LeBron, who are your really good role players? Kuzma, right? Randall, there's two right there. Lonzo Ball easily fits into that because he defends and passes so really
that
well.
That would be your starting. Yeah, that'd I mean, be your starting five.
You're in great shape now. And you would have to go and figure out depth, and you would have to figure out how you know who you keep and who you bump.
Yeah, I think based on you're saying that based on what we saw in the Rockets series, and I don't even disagree with that. I mean, they were going to win that series if CP3 plays.
Two stars and five really good role players.
But I also think it should be said that the level of defense has clearly been stepped up in the finals. Like, we've seen
by
them
who?
By the Warriors. We've seen them like put a priority on it.
I would agree with that.
So if they're playing this brand of basketball against the Rockets, it's probably a different series. If KD's not making the mistakes he made in that series, it's a different series.
Think about it this way. If you had LeBron, Paul George, Kyle Kuzma, Julius Randle, you're going to dominate.
Yeah, you'll be top
you
five
throw,
in the
you
West.
Throw Ingram, you throw Ingram in as your fifth guy, right? Now it's Josh Hart.
So who would run point for you in that? Kuzma would probably run point? Or Paul George?
Paul George,
probably.
I don't know.
Paul George certainly has the ability.
George, LeBron, Lonzo Ball, Randall, Kuzma. There's your starting five.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think Lonzo Ball has a home there. I do. So now, like, what about KCP? Like, do you bring Caldwell Pope back? I think you do. He had an awesome year last year.
Yeah, I think he'd be a great six man. I mean,
unbelievable six man. Brooke Lopez absolutely has a place on that team. Right? And so now you start bumping everybody else down. Don't forget, Josh Hart absolutely has a place on that team. And now you just got to go find you probably need a legitimate two more pieces to fill out that seven. And then I think you need, obviously, probably five more fillers. You need your guys, your Corey Brewers or your depth guys,
yeah.
Right? To me, the Lakers make a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
The Rockets.
It could still be his team.
Yet the Rockets, that feels like the Kevin Durant move where he went to a really good team. And, hey, he has no ties to Houston.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like the LeBron move. The LeBron move's L.A. That's why I say I side with LeBron going to L.A. I was probably too hard on you with the Sixers thing.
That's cool.
Because you just disagree, but that's fine. Hey, I want to get to this. Before we get to baseball, I want to get to the Eagles visiting the White House. Because I think this is a story that's breaking, and the reaction has become, I don't want to say ugly, but how surprised are you that the President of the United States, if you didn't hear this, the Eagles were supposed to visit the White House tomorrow. The Eagles have said, hey, we're not coming. And we're not coming because essentially, the White House has uninvited us. And there's really no way for us to do this right and do it the way that we want to do it, so we're out. I think it makes a lot of sense for them not to go to the White House.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the White House tried to be strong. America's the best country ever, and it's kicking them in the ass again. I mean, just over and over and over again.
And the problem with this is the press secretary lets a statement out that essentially says, hey, the Eagles are un-American and they don't like the military and we're not going to have them at the White House because of that.
Right.
And I just think that's a bunch of garbage to do that. This isn't anti-Trump, but at the end of the day, it becomes Donald Trump versus the Eagles.
Yeah.
And it brings back this question of, is kneeling anti-military? And I'm telling you, kneeling during the national anthem is nothing but Americana.
I don't even think it's related to the military. Like, on I any really level, don't. Dude.
I can only tell this story 1,000 times. The reason that Colin Kaepernick started kneeling is because, and of course, Periscope now is blowing up with support for the Eagles, but the reason Colin Kaepernick started kneeling is because he was sitting on a cooler. And a military veteran said to him, hey, instead of doing that, why don't you take a knee on the sideline during the national anthem? That's why you have Colin Kaepernick kneeling down, because a veteran told him that's what he should be doing.
Yeah.
So this idea that it's anti-military is just ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's why I say, you know, putting out a statement like that just shows that, I mean, they're ignorant. That's the best word that comes to mind. You're ignorant. Like, you think saying that is going to make you look really good, and you're with the majority of Americans, and your base is going to agree with you. But at the end of the day, you look like a fool, and that's the hardest part. You look like a fool.
Yes, and the jokes about how Barack Obama is about to invite the Eagles to his house for a barbecue.
Yeah, like...
I mean, this is... It's just opened up this whole thing. And then, of course, Torrey Smith of the Eagles puts out what I think is a really damaging tweet, a football player tweeting out that essentially, hey, a small group of people were going to go to the White House.
Yeah, it wasn't like the whole team was going. It wasn't like it was some big celebration. Yes, let's go meet Trump.
And there wasn't a thing where it was, oh, well, let's be anti-Trump and not go to the White House. Not many people were going to go anyway. This is a direct quote from Torrey Smith, now of the Panthers, but was on the team when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He said, quote, not many people were going to go. Two, no one refused to go simply because Trump, quote unquote, insists folks stand for the anthem. Three, the president continues to spread false narratives that players are anti-military. And I want to read you, to be fair to Donald Trump, I'm going to read you this first couple of lines of this. This is the official statement released by the Office of the Press Secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. In the statement, she writes, the Philadelphia Eagles are unable to come to the White House with their full team to celebrate tomorrow. They disagree with their president because he insists that they proudly stand for the national anthem. Hand on heart, in honor of the great men and women of our military and the people of our country. So that's part one of this statement.
And real quick, just before we move on, she's essentially saying in that statement, you're not coming because you hate the military.
Because you are anti-military.
That's what you're saying.
Yes, and I think that's her point. And I think that's a bunch of garbage. I don't think anything that NFL players have done says that they're anti-military.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of these guys, and the problem is, one of the biggest charities for the NFL is the Wounded Warrior Foundation. They go out of their way to work with military vets. They go out of their way to support families.
Commercials, moments during the game.
Like supporting families who have family members serving in forward territories. Like, the NFL and its players do a great job supporting military families. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah.
And it's statements like this that I think smear NFL athletes who are doing great things in the community.
Yeah.
Now, are there guys who are just putting paper in their pocket when playing football and don't give a damn about anybody else? Yes, absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but that's also accountants and lawyers and radio hosts.
Dude, that's all of us. What do you mean? Like,
I just think that the spirit of this is BS.
And that's, again, not to turn the show into a political show, but that's the essence of the president, right?
Like,
all he's trying to do is just push things like out on the table. He's pushing out the ace of spades and the king of hearts and the, you know,
correct,
like just all these different plays, hoping that people will get behind it. And when it doesn't, oh well, it's Huckabee Sanders' fault or it's somebody else's fault. He's behind all this, and I think it blows up on him a lot.
Well, the second half of this statement doesn't get any better. It continues, quote, the Eagles wanted to send a smaller delegation, but the 1,000 fans planning to attend the event deserve better. So now the statement is saying that the Eagles are damaging their fans.
And by the way, just to be clear, you're speaking on behalf of fans that you've never met in your life.
Correct.
Just to be clear.
Correct.
Yeah.
And remember, Philadelphia is in the great state of
Pennsylvania,
which is a battleground state. Yeah. It is a pivotal state in elections. Quote, these fans are still invited to the White House to be part of a different type of ceremony, one that will honor our great country, pay tribute to the heroes who fight to protect it, and loudly and proudly play the national anthem. I will be there at 3 o'clock, meaning the president, with the United States Marine Band and the United States Army Chorus to celebrate America. End quote. End of statement.
But see, why do we have to, again, and I swear we've talked about this before with the Kobe, LeBron, Jordan discussion, but Correct. Why do we have to tear people down to celebrate the country? I feel like that there's so many examples in the administration of this happening. And this is like one of the best.
I think that's who we've become as a country, though. I hate to say that. But I think whether it's at work, you're competing against Jimmy in the cubicle next to you, you know, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
I think we tear people down to build ourselves up. And I it's a pet peeve of mine. And I think it happens with mental illness. I think it happens with homelessness. I think it happens with the poor and the indigent. Like, I think it's a huge problem across our society.
Yeah.
And I think when we have the leaders of our communities, presidents, mayors, council people, whoever, when we have the members of our community doing that exact same thing, I think it sends a message that that's okay.
Well,
and I don't
it
think it is okay.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it does send that message, so...
Would you go to the White House if you were on the Eagles?
No, I personally wouldn't, but especially if I was black, I wouldn't.
But why would you not? Because you disagree with the president's politics or...
Well, yeah, partially, but I think a lot of it is you can't tell me that guys don't disagree with his... Like, the whole Trump owners cap collusion thing is one thing.
Correct.
That makes Trump just look like a complete douche to the player. Number two.
Did you say douche?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Isn't douche on the forbidden word list on this
now,
show?
Now it's not because we're talking about Trump, so anything goes.
Okay, easy,
you know,
killer.
Number two, you know, just his antics, like, across the board with how he, you know, says things and does things and how brazen he is with things. Like, it sends a terrible message to the players. And so, no, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go.
Yeah, I think I would go. And I say I would go because, A, how many times you get to go to the White House? B, how many times you get to meet the president? And I think if you go as an athlete, and if I am, you know, again, the starting quarterback, whether that's Nick Foles or, you know, whoever, if I am the starting linebacker, if I am, you know, a defensive end, you know, if I'm long or whoever.
Yeah.
It gives me an opportunity to stand with the president and say to him, I completely disagree with you, and this is why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Okay, well, I can get down with that. If you're going to go because you want that opportunity, that
but
moment.
If you're going to, no, I think it's even more than that. If you're going to rip Donald Trump and you're going to criticize him and then you are given an opportunity to stand in front of him and say, hey, I disagree with you and here's why, and I want to talk to you about this. And you pass on that opportunity, it makes you kind of a hypocrite.
Well, but on the... See, you view it that way. The way I view it is you're not going... Like, you're not... The reason for your trip is not to go and discuss politics with Donald Trump, right? Like, you're going because you won the Super Bowl, and he wants to celebrate that achievement.
Right, but it doesn't matter why you're going. It doesn't matter why you get an audience with the Pope. You go and talk to the Pope, whether you're Jewish, atheist, whatever. You go and sit with the Pope. You go and sit with the president because you want to kneel down. If Donald Trump calls Colin Kaepernick today and says, hey, Cap, I want to meet with you to talk about these issues, is Colin Kaepernick going or not?
Yeah.
You're damn right he is.
But
so what's the difference?
Well, it's a huge difference in my opinion. For Kaepernick, this is a guy that hasn't been in the league, is probably not going to get another chance, it looks like, at this point. And by the way, to push his message and what he stands for, this is a huge opportunity for you, right?
But what I think you have that same opportunity if you win the Super Bowl and you want to go and talk to the president.
Yeah.
When else is anybody going to get a chance to talk to the president? When is pick your professional? Okay, Tom Brady's friends with the president. He can ring the hotline anytime.
Yeah, I mean,
he wants.
There's a few exemptions, okay? Obviously.
Right. So if you are, you know, and pick the eagle. If you are this particular eagle, Nick Foles' chance to disagree with the president is what? Torrey Smith.
Wentz.
Carson Wentz. How often is Carson Wentz going to get a chance to talk to the president? How often is Torrey Smith, the wide receiver who put out this really strong statement, how many times is Torrey Smith going to get to stand in front of the president and say, hey, bro, I disagree with you, and I want to have an open, honest conversation about this? Why hasn't Donald Trump, and this is, see, like, if I'm an NFL player, this is where I'm at with this. Uh-huh. Why haven't NFL players said, hey, Mr. President, we want to sit down and have a summit with you on this kneeling issue? Why don't you, not the owners, not Roger Goodell, why don't you, Donald Trump, invite us to the White House, all in our afros and our, you know, whatever he's criticized them for? Why don't we have a summit, and we'll bring, whether it's Tom Brady, whoever, we'll bring Colin Kaepernick, we'll bring Eric Reed, we'll bring the most controversial players, and we will be black and we will be white and greatness. Because Donald Trump would never do that, I don't think.
No, he's too good for that.
But has somebody asked him to do that?
I mean, I would guess not, but I don't know.
But why not?
We don't know.
Why not? This is what I don't understand. And this frankly is what frustrates me about athletes.
But do you think, isn't it fair to say that based on Donald Trump's actions, based on what he's done with the owners and just his overall image, isn't it fair to say that asking him to meet could be considered a waste of time by players? Is that accurate?
It's never a waste of time to sit with your protagonist. It's to sit with the guy that you consider an enemy. Forget it. The guy's the president of the United States.
Right, but you get hung up on that. I'm more focused on the image part of this for the players.
Okay, so what's the image of the president?
To me,
he doesn't like black people.
Right.
That's the common denominator.
Yeah,
everybody
like
says he's a racist. Okay.
Yeah.
So I can take my black self and our black teammates again in this narrative with Colin Kaepernick. And well, if you want to get back in the NFL, maybe you should shave the afro. Okay, well, I'm going to take Colin Kaepernick's afro to the White House, right? I am going to take all of the outspoken players that want to go, whether they're black, white, whatever, you know, Hispanic, I don't care. We're going to go to the White House.
Right.
And we're going to sit down with the president with our afros in the Oval Office or in the East Room, wherever, and we're going to have a conversation. Play the stereotypes all you want. If you can get Colin Kaepernick sitting at the table with Donald Trump talking about kneeling for the national anthem. Hell, bring the vet that said he should kneel. Bring the military. Bring the NFL players and put them at a table together and figure it out.
That's never going to happen, though, and that's the sad part.
Why not?
Because Donald Trump would never do that.
I disagree. I don't know that he would.
What about Donald Trump says that he would do that? Like what?
Because he loves a photo op. God, he's going to frickin' the Philippines to have a summit with Kim Jong-un, who before that is going to meet with Bashar al-Assad by some reports. I think he loves photo ops. And if you can get Colin Kaepernick and Donald Trump...
But by the way, remember what he said, the whole kneeling down thing is a win for him.
It is.
Again,
well,
stuff like that.
Fighting kneeling down is a win for him. So if he says, hey, I'm working with the players to figure out a solution to this kneeling down thing...
Right.
Win for him. Everybody who says he hates black people, shave your afro. When you can have Donald Trump standing next to Colin Kaepernick in a huge afro, I think that's a win for black America. There's no way to call this a loss.
I don't know if it is or not. I'm just not sure it is. Like, if they go as a group, right? If you go, if Cap and Reed and anybody, any influential player in the NFL, if they all go as a collective group, I think it's a win for the players. Absolutely,
yes.
It's a win.
And it's a win for Donald Trump.
But I don't think somebody like Colin Kaepernick or Eric Reed by themselves alone would ask for that kind of a meeting.
I don't know why. Why? And this is the other thing that really bothers me about the Colin Kaepernick thing, and I support Colin 100%. Why haven't you had a press conference? Don't take questions or whatever. I don't care.
Just make a statement.
Make a statement saying, I would like to go to the White House and meet with Donald Trump. I have asked.
How would you even go about... Do you just go to a media outlet and say
you're
that?
Like, CNN.
Go
to CNN.
I
go to Fox News.
That,
go
yeah.
call Sean Hannity. He freaking is best friends with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
If Colin Kaepernick wanted to go to the White House and meet with Donald Trump, I guarantee you that could happen. If the 10 most prominent players in the NFL, black or white, again, I don't really care. If the five most prominent black players in the NFL want to go meet with Donald Trump and they went on TV and said, we want to meet with him to work this out, are you telling me that Donald Trump wouldn't take that meeting? A, and are you telling me that B, it wouldn't get to Donald Trump?
I'm sure. It would get to Donald Trump. But at what point, is this one of those situations, again, just flat out asking the question, is this one of those situations where the players have that mentality of, well, Donald Trump started the drama of what we're in now, so he should have to come to us?
No. Egotistically speaking, you know what my biggest fear would be? That guys like Roger Goodell would try to hijack it. That you would have guys in the Players Association, the Troy Vincents of the world, the guys that are just leeching, would just try to be all over this. And it's like, no, man. Why don't all the loudmouths and the guys who are only in this to get notoriety, why don't we push them out of the conference room? And instead of all of those guys, why don't we have the 10 most prominent NFL players sitting down? Nolan Harrison, one of the most level-headed dudes in the world, former Raider, former Steeler, former Indiana Hoosier, one of the most level-headed guys in the world. I will tweet at Nolan Harrison, and I will ask him why that's never happened. Because that should happen. That's got to happen. And I simply don't understand why it's not yet. Because that's how you fix this.
There's just too much pride involved. You know, that's the hard part.
Donald Trump isn't a prideful man. He's a guy that's an ego. He's an ego monster.
Dude, okay. What can you explain the difference for me?
Well, prideful is that you. I'm not going to meet with them. I don't know what. I'd have to admit I'm wrong. Egotistical is, oh yeah, they've asked for a meeting. Yeah, I'm going to spin this in my favor. I'm doing everything I can do to bring this contentious situation with the NFL players to an end.
I'd have to say he's both. And I see your point where how he would take the egotistical route to try to spin it for a political win. But I don't know. I just struggle. The whole thing is just a meat grinder, really. It just is. It's just a deadlock. I mean, ideally it would be Kaepernick, right? Like Kaepernick would do the press conference. That's what he should have done a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he should have put it out in public what his stance was truly, what he's really kneeling for, instead of just letting people assume.
He talked about what he's kneeling
for.
Yeah,
but he didn't do a press conference. He didn't do a nationally televised
Well, remember,
presser.
When this started, he was a player for the 49ers. So he was talking to the media on a regular basis, at least three times a week. So he talked about, and remember the pig socks at practice and the Fidel Castro shirt. And he's talked about why he's doing what he's doing. And it's because he's tired of seeing black men oppressed and murdered by police. That's his reasoning for it. By the way, he also gave $1 million to inner city charities and continues to do a bunch of work and, hey, whatever.
Which nobody likes to talk about.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it's the right
but
thing to do.
But my point is, Colin Kaepernick's on the record why he's doing what he's doing.
Well, then I think he needs to go on the record again. He needs to refresh
I don't know why you wouldn't. I really don't. And I think some of it is that it could be controversial. And I think my thing is, if Colin Kaepernick sat down with the president, he'd be back in the NFL a week later. He would be. And maybe the issue could be on your prideful side that Trump needs this to pump up his base. I don't know. But if Colin Kaepernick met with the president, he'd be back in the NFL within a week. Guaranteed. Because Donald Trump, all of these letters and testimony and the collusion case, and Jerry Jones flat out said that Donald Trump, as you noted, Donald Trump told him this kneeling thing's a win for me.
Yeah.
That's why Colin Kaepernick's not in the NFL.
Yeah.
If you really want to get back in the NFL, go to the White House.
Yeah, man.
It's that simple. By the way, June 12th, he'll be in the Philippines. You want to know where do what you got to do. Go to the source. Don't source the source. Go to the source.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've beaten a dead horse now.
Good talk.
Should we talk Fortnite or baseball?
Fortnite.
Boy, I had a frustrating weekend of Fortnite. So it was boys' weekend. My wife is up in L.A. And so, yeah, we played a lot of Fortnite this weekend. We ate some really crappy food. Eric Hosmer goes deep for the Padres. Yeah, terrible signing, right? Not.
Waste of money.
people got on that bandwagon early. Anyway, point is, we ate some Costco pizza. We played some Fortnite.
Yeah.
And we've really dedicated our Fortnite play to learning how to build expertly. I've not mastered that skill yet. Although now I feel like after yesterday, we spent hours. First of all, we spent 2 hours dominating on playing basketball at LA Fitness. We played pickup basketball yesterday. I was unbelievable. Not even, you know, I wrote, you know, the game notes and I did the game story. And
did you make the 2 minute report?
The Monty
too?
Times. Yeah, the 2 minute report from the Monty Basketball League, the MBM, as in Monty BA, said that I should have gotten every call, but I didn't. I'm kidding. Anyway, I shot the three really well yesterday. I played in the post really well. I passed like I'm freaking Maravich. It was amazing. Is any of that not true?
It's true, but exaggerated. A little exaggerated.
Did I shoot the three really well?
That's not exaggerating. Saying you passed like Maravich is a little.
Did I not pass well?
Okay, you did, but passing like Maravich? Come on.
Pistol Monty.
Come on.
Maravich ain't got nothing on me. Mm-hmm. To quote Denzel. Anyway.
Right.
So we dominated basketball. We actually did. Had a very good day.
Yeah.
Came home, played some Fortnite, and I feel like I've now learned to build a lot more effectively at Fortnite.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a thing of practice, and it's a thing of mentality.
Editing is the hardest part. Learning to edit the build.
90% of editing is not hard. It's editing the stairs to make them rotate. That's the hardest part.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. I can't figure it out. I cannot figure it out. And 9 times out of 10, I don't think to build. And when I do think to build, it usually goes well for me. Because there's only two you need, right trigger or left trigger.
Pretty much.
That's really it.
Yeah.
And we have our, you know, we have
controls
our...
Controls are on Builder Pro, so it's much quicker. Xbox One, by the way. We play on Xbox One. Yeah. So.
And I feel like I'm killing much better, even though the thing that pisses me off most about Fortnite is I just don't think it's realistic. You're getting killed by a common
it's not
shotgun.
Call of Duty.
Well, it's not Call of Duty.
It's Fortnite.
A sniper rifle to your frickin' face should kill you. That's all
Only
I'm saying.
It's not.
Do you love Fortnite?
Yeah, it's enjoyable for me.
I do, too. I'm a terrible loser.
Yeah, I get it. I know.
I whine and complain way too much.
Yep.
I don't play Fortnite with me. Do you enjoy playing Fortnite together with me?
When you're winning.
Exactly right. When I'm winning. Damn it. Anyway, Padres up 1-0. Hosmer hits a home run. Your boys are getting healthy in San Francisco. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
And the NL West is the tightest division in baseball across the board.
Do you buy into the Rockies? Because,
no.
I think you might need to.
Here we go. That didn't take long.
Because, again, it's June 1st.
Yeah.
Okay? And actually, it's June 4th. Monday, June 4th.
Right.
Since 1996, 22 years ago, 12 of the 22 World Series winners were leading their division on June 1st. Your thoughts.
See, this is funny. I thought you were going to make this a Cubs debate, but you're making it a Rockies debate.
I think it's Cubs debate, too.
Look, I just don't, again, just like I didn't buy into the D-backs, I don't buy into the Rockies. Again, you're playing in the NL West. I just don't buy into them.
Well,
the wild card game, and you got lit, and you're largely the same team.
D-backs are up a game and a half in the West.
Yeah, so it's a
I don't believe they're going to win the World Series.
No,
I don't.
Probably not. I think they're a playoff team, though.
I think the Rockies will finish first or second in this division because the Giants just can't stay healthy. Like, they're kicking ass, and all of a sudden Brandon Belt's appendix blows up on him. Like, they get bombed back tomorrow. Like, Melanson destroys yesterday, threw the ball really well. I mean, they're getting dudes back.
Yeah.
Hence is back. Like, I mean, they're getting dudes back. Panic's back.
Mac
Williamson's back. Hunter Pence is back. He's a fourth outfielder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Belt appendix exploded.
He's only out. What is he out? 2 weeks?
He's on the 10-day deal. He'll probably be a little longer than 10 days.
Yeah.
His appendix exploded. Your best player this year. He is. And I think he's been your best bat. I think he's arguably been your second best defender behind Brandon Crawford, which I think makes him your best player. Him or Crawford's been your best hitter. And I think it's been Brandon. Belt, they're both Brandon, get it? Anyway, point is, I just don't understand, like, who put the kabuki doll on them? I have no idea.
I don't know. If the Rockies are still leading this division, when we get to the All-Star break, I'll buy in. Seriously, I'll buy in. If you're able to hold a division that long, another month, 2 months really,
well,
you're legit.
They're a game and a half behind Arizona, though.
Well, I know, but that's telling what I'm saying. You. If they're going to win this division, then they should be able to run down Arizona. Being a game and a half behind, I mean, that's less than two games.
Well, right now, this series, and the reason I bring this up, because it's D-backs at Giants.
Yeah.
And it's a huge game. Like, Godley and Holland tonight, this is a problem with the Giants. The Giants now are, well, Derek Holland. Tomorrow, Bumgarner. But tonight, it's Holland.
Well, and the difference is now you're going to have to hit tonight to win.
Yeah.
You know, you're
who do you buy more, the Giants or the Diamondbacks? I personally buy the Giants a little more. Now, Pollock's going to be back probably in 3 weeks.
They're very close. Honestly, they're very close. But I'm a Giants guy, so I'll take the Giants.
Yeah. I think Brandon Crawford's clearly the better shortstop. Their outfield left to right.
It's not really that close. I mean, they're a good defensive team, but it's pitching, you know?
Well, and I never thought I'd say this, but the Diamondbacks have better pitching.
Right now,
with Cueto and Bum out. I mean, the Diamondbacks have better pitching. If it was Bum, Cueto, Stratton, I'd go with the Giants, but it's not.
Which I think it will be at some point.
Probably. I think the Giants lineup is better. I mean, you know, Buster.
That's what I'm saying.
Buster's not having a great year.
We're sitting here playing semantics. It's the best division in baseball still. Like, you can say the AL East is a great division. The AL East is a two-team race. That's it. It's Red Sox, Yankees, and that's it. And by the way, after the performance the Red Sox put up, okay, yeah, they're the best team in the AL right now, right? Like, they're the best team. I think they're the best team in baseball. They beat up on the Astros. Like, they did.
Yep.
So, yeah, and probably. You're probably right about that. With where the NL is at, I can't really say the Nationals are a better team
than
the Red Sox.
I have a tough time seeing somebody beating the Red Sox in the American League. I think a Houston-Boston ALCS would be
outstanding,
off the charts. Yeah. Like,
well, it wasn't last year, but
orgasmic, you know. Unbelievable, amazing.
That's what we thought last year.
Porcello,
better than we thought.
Well, that's my point. I mean, the Red Sox, bro. The Red Sox are 41-19.
To be fair, Charlie Morton had a bad day. I mean, clearly didn't have good stuff.
Yeah. Well, they still got, see. I hate pitchers.
Oh, I'm not.
And you
I'm not
being
trying,
a pitcher,
I, look, I'm not trying to lessen the win. You beat up on Charlie Morton. Good for you.
You will always be a pitcher.
What?
Well, Charlie Morton just had a tough day. Well, he also
he
got his ass kicked by one of the best offenses in baseball.
Right, but he's capable of dominating anybody. That's what I'm saying. So yeah. had he been at his best, like Porcello was, that's a pitcher's duel.
Right, but I think when you split a series, I think it's pretty telling that you split that series because you're pretty dang even. You know, like I would love to see that rematch in the playoffs.
Oh, for sure. I'm not saying I wouldn't like to see it.
But you got wins out of Price and Porcello, and Chris Sale lost. You know, like that's what's amazing to me.
But that's baseball, right? Like that's baseball.
That is exactly baseball. And you lost to Colin McCullers. No, I can get down with that. I can get down with that. You know, I just
not really surprised they lost to Cole.
No. No, me either. But now the Red Sox are going to...
What's their lead in the division? Where are they at in the AL East?
Let me look. I'm looking.
It's close. It's very close.
It is. I think they're a game up on New York, the Yankees, who are in Detroit
tonight. By the way, real quick while you're looking that up.
Yeah,
What do you make of the Stanton bat flip? That whole thing.
Okay, so if you didn't see it tonight, Mike Stanton got hit by a pitch by Detroit.
Mike fires.
He comes back up and just drills a ball. He didn't do a bat flip. He just kind of tossed the bat aside.
Nah.
He did not throw it up in the air.
No, he didn't do the Jose Bautista, but what he did do was emphatically flip it out of his hand.
But then proceeded to come to a complete stop at third base, step on third base, take the hand off from the third base coach like he's delivering a bread basket.
Yeah.
You know, and then touch home plate, turn around, point at fires, and run into the dugout. And I would just like to say, welcome to the Chicago Cubs,
yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton, because I love it. I loved it. I think that's baseball.
But why, I mean, he's being a red ass about it, and I love it because he got drilled, and then he came up and took you way deep. Like,
way deep.
Dude. Like, wasn't even close.
Yeah.
I love that.
I loved it. I thought it was cool. What'd you think of Javi Baez stealing home plate?
Love it. Great baseball play.
Javi Baez is on third base. Pitcher throws over to first, and he steals home.
It's a great read, dude. great.
And the Cubs dugout went
bananas. And
by the way,
I wouldn't even put it past them to have worked on that play. Like, I'm not saying they plan to do that, but it's situation.
That feels like a spring training play.
The way you practice, because they don't practice in the big leagues during the year.
Well, they're the best secondary lead in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch the Cubs run the bases, they do two things really well. They all get secondary leads, and they do not miss the turn at third base.
Yeah.
They're not out. When you watch the Cubs run the bases, they're not going to be in the coach's boxes rounding, you know, first and third base. They are taking hard lines around the corner, shortest route from second to home. They are very good base runners. And I think that came through with Baez. But, yeah, I would agree that's a play that you work on in spring training, and then, like, it's June, and you're like, oh, I'm going to try that here, and it worked. Which I think is great. He clearly was setting him up.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as the Cubs go, I still have concerns for them.
And you
know,
you should. I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Quintana's given them a couple of nice starts now, but they're not the Red Sox. They're not the Cleveland Indians. The Cubs are certainly not. Like, look at Seattle. How is Seattle up on Houston in that division? I don't know how you explain that. You thought they were left for dead when Don't You Know went out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Cano goes down with the steroid suspension, and people are like, all right, see you next year. No, well, no. They're 37-22, a game up on Houston. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
impressive.
As much of a surprise as they are, the Angels are not surprising. They're 5.5 back. Well, you might want to get some pitching. You know, like baseball should be predictable like that. Then why the hell are the Atlanta Braves in first place? By a game and a half over the Nationals.
Great baseball right now.
Without Acuna.
Right. They're just playing good ball.
You know, it's...
But that's what I'm saying. Baseball is an up-and-down sport, right? And the Cubs are in this weird place where they're not up or down. They're just kind of meandering. They're not... It's weird because you would think that guys like Bryant and Rizzo and you know, just their mainstays would produce like they always do. Like, you would think they would get those numbers.
You would think.
But it's interesting... This year seems to be the year where the World Series and the deep postseason runs have caught up to them a little bit, right? Like, because, yeah, you do have an offseason in baseball, but when your offseason is November to March, not really an offseason.
November to March.
Like,
November and December is your offseason. January, you're back 100%. February, you're in spring training. I mean, there's not a whole lot of offseason in baseball. And that's part of
this. So that's my point. Yeah. You play these long-ass seasons, which I love, by the way. I'm total support in keeping it.
Yeah, 6 months,
You play those long seasons. You get deep into the postseason, have those emotional moments. You have the game against Cleveland. And then last year, you have the letdown in the postseason. And so now you get to this year. And, okay, maybe they're due for a mediocre year. Like, maybe they are. I don't know. They shouldn't be because they have great talent. But the pitching hasn't been there this year. And, by the way, John Lester's not getting any younger.
But he's dominating.
He's having a good year this year. But what I'm saying is you're not going to be able to ride that horse for years and years and years.
They're two out. Do they win the division?
Yeah, I think they do. Because I think the Brewers suffer an injury that destroys them.
Yeah. All these strikeouts bad for baseball. Bryce Harper, my guy Strongman Utah, P. Russell Anderson, just won't get off of it. Like, he tweets at me every day.
Well, because what they're saying is, and I don't know what this dude's saying, but I'm assuming he's saying that, well, he's not hitting for average, but he's hitting home runs, so his stats aren't good.
Right, but he's striking out a remarkable
lot.
Amount.
He's not the only one. He's not the only one, right?
No, like, not at all.
I just think it's this year's hitter. Like, that's what this year's about. If you're a pitcher this year, you're making your money. You're having a great year.
He's hitting .232. 55 strikeouts, 47 walks, by far leading the team in total bases with 107.
What's the on-base percentage?
Is 371, which is not good.
That's low.
Not good. I mean, you need a minimum of 400 to be elite.
He's a 470 guy for on-base.
Yeah, he's only slugging .527.
Yeah, I mean, so he's not hitting well this year. He's hit home runs, but he's not all-around hitting well like he usually is. And by the way, just saying, when we talk about who's the best player in baseball, Mike Trout's putting up big numbers. On pace for 55 home runs.
Yeah.
He has a .300 average.
Is he the best player in baseball?
Right now he is, I think. Right now he is.
But, I mean, just not for nothing, forget the stats this year. Is he the best player in baseball?
Yeah.
I think he has to be right now.
He has to be. Steals bases, amazing defense.
Are you sure Anderson Simmons is not better than him?
Yeah, I'm
Because you
sure.
know what I'm going to bring up.
What?
Your little defense of Rougned Odor the other night.
Here we go.
Where
you're right, we got to talk about it. Go ahead.
Okay, so Rougned Odor, Texas Rangers, slides into second base to break up a double play. Andrelton Simmons does everything the right way.
Yeah.
Clears the base, is clearly out of the baseline. Odor slides, and you can see him reach for Simmons' ankle with his spikes.
Yeah.
And he spikes Simmons in the ankle. And you don't have a problem with that.
Okay. Again, that's not fair to say it that way. What I said was I don't have a problem with the play up until you see him in the video, and I'm assuming you tweeted this, so go find it on his Twitter.
Yeah, the Monty Show.
So in the video, you have to break it down by parts because the play was clean all the way up until the point Odor decided to turn his cleats up. Like, he could still reach the base. It's a clean slide if he just leaves his spikes down. Clean slide. That's a clean baseball play. But once you go to cleat somebody, that's a dirty play.
And this is the second time. Like, last year, he almost broke Zach Cozart's leg.
So he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. And he shouldn't.
I think he should be heavily fined for that. Because it's getting to a point now where these collisions, you're right. Odor, the slide was fine until he spiked him.
Because, and by the way, it's not just that he spiked him. You're showing intent by doing that.
Yes.
You're saying correct. That I'm trying to
I'm
going to
spike you so you can't finish the play. And if you get hurt, that's not my problem.
Yeah.
And I just think it's BS. And I look at...
I don't even know where the amount of the fine begins on that. Like, I don't know what the rules say or what the...
And Simmons, by the way, was fine. Fine.
And that's my biggest problem right there. Like, even if we just stop the conversation right there and talk about how Major League Baseball views things, they don't view it based on intent. They view it based on what happened.
How bad the injury is.
So, did you break your leg? Oh, well, we'll fine him, and that makes it right. Oh, you didn't break your leg. You just had a cut and your pants were torn. No fine for him. Play ball.
Yeah,
garbage. I mean, that's not how it should be. That sends the wrong message. That says to Odor, yep, go ahead and do that. Just make sure you don't break the guy's leg in your effort.
I can't stand him.
Yeah, he's a dirty player, for sure.
I can't stand Odor.
He's Del Vadova of baseball.
He's a crappy player, though. He's a 200 hitter. You know, he's not a guy that, in my opinion...
He's irrelevant.
Yeah, he's all right. He doesn't hit for power. He's a crappy player. Andrelton Simmons is probably top five shortstops in baseball, and he's raking.
Yeah.
Like that...
Because why is he raking, though?
Because
this is interesting. He changed the plane of his swing.
Yep.
As many have.
Correct.
Completely changed his career.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, even with the Braves, he couldn't hit, and he was a great defender.
336 average. He's on base 405. Look at Trout. Jeez Louise.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, Trout's total base is 143. 19 home runs, 15 doubles, 37 RBIs, 308 average, 443 on base, 678 slugging, 1121 OPS. Like, that's unbelievable. Did Spangenberg hit another? Spangenberg hit another home run.
We'll see ya.
Like, this guy, we should talk some Padres. They drafted a pitcher today, and I love that they did that. Padre fans did not love the draft pick of Weathers, the lefty. His father's David Weathers. And I don't mean to do this every day. I'm just curious what Padre fans want. Like, what is it you want?
They want them to go out and make moves at the deadline, and they want to be that fan base to me. I listen to the local radio every single day while I'm getting ready for work.
The Mighty 1090.
And all I hear is, yes, we need to make a move. We need to pick somebody up at the deadline. And today, to their credit, 1090 is saying, well, no, we shouldn't do that because that's going to mess with the money. And by the way, get to 500. And by the way, maybe you could close that gap a little bit that I think they're 5.5 out and going the wrong direction. So it's like, dude, it's not even realistic. You know,
not at this point. It's not.
And Padre fans seem to have this trouble with forecasting. You know why they drafted a pitcher? Because Tyson Ross isn't going to be here. Clayton Richard isn't going to be here. And Joey Lucchesi is your future. Like, it's that simple.
And right now, I think they have done a great job developing pitching.
Yeah.
Like you, and I say this all the time. I tweeted this at Bob Scanlon today, the former MLB-er who's a broadcaster for the Padres. You know, if you look at their organization, they're loaded. They by far have the best farm system pipeline right now in all of baseball. And I look at their pitching now, and it's not even the success that Lucchese's had. Now, unfortunately, he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But it is Lauer who I don't think a lot of people were excited about. But he's actually pitching well, and he's I think he's 8.39 for Ks per nine.
Solid.
Like, I mean, he's striking guys out. He's not dominating, and he's got a huge ERA right now, but he's actually pitching well.
But don't, like, and this is what you have to realize with the Padres pitching right now. With the exception of Tyson Ross, because he's not a rookie, obviously he's a vet. All your rookie pitching, all your young guys,
Lucchese, Lauer, Lyles, ERA. Yeah, don't worry.
Dude, just look at watch them make mechanical adjustments.
Yep.
And watch them. All they're working on is location and executing pitches and working on the game plan, because that's the biggest problem with AAA pitchers going to the big leagues. It's no longer good enough to throw, you know, mid-90s with movement. That's going to get hit. What
Correct.
You have to do is execute a game plan and do your homework.
And the bigger issue is, how long are they going to hang on to Brad Hand or Craig Snammen?
Dude, Padre fans love Brad Hand.
They do. Well, but they got to trade him.
They do.
Sorry. You have to trade him.
And I think what's going to happen here is we're going to get to the trade deadline or start approaching it, and things will turn. We will see, you know, okay, it's time to be realistic now. We had our fun at the beginning of the year. We saw what we were capable of with this group. Okay, we know the young guys, and we know the core of our team, the Freddie Galvises, the Eric Hosmers, you know,
yes.
Everybody who's going to stay, we know those guys.
You know, Ava, I think, now is in
yeah,
that group.
You know.
But, like, I'm so glad you said that. Conversation on Twitter this morning with Padre fans.
Yeah.
About Framil Reyes.
Uh-huh.
And he's a DH. Like
we've seen this book before. Right?
Yes. Like, repeatedly. And so I'm going back and forth and talking to Padre fans and Padre bloggers. And it's like, hey, I get it. He's developed, and it's certainly fun to see him hitting balls out of the ballpark. That's all well and good.
That means he's got trade value.
But he's never going to be a solid defensive player. He's just not. And I was talking to Tim Ryder, who writes for SB Nation, I think. I can't remember. Anyway, point is, he's not a guy that you are going to hang on to for a decade.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't play defense. He's not like Kyle Schwarber can get away with his defense because he completely transformed his body and he's playing a serviceable left field and he's got a hose. Right? Oh, by the way, he's a great average hitter or was. Good average hitter, incredible power alley, and really good home run hitter. And he's shown he can be clutch in, say, the World Series against Cleveland.
Yeah.
That's not who Reyes is. Maybe he'll develop into that. I could be totally wrong about that. Friars on Base is the blog that he writes
for. Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of these things, man, where Friars on Base wrote a post with the headline, Framil Reyes is progressing nicely. And it's like, okay.
That's not untrue, but that doesn't mean you're going to keep him and say, yeah, he's one of our core pieces, because he's not.
Hunter Renfro. Here's another darling. Here's another darling. Hunter Renfro. Hits a grand slam off the second deck of the warehouse.
Nice moment. Clutch play.
Love that, right? But Renfro's not a guy that you're like, ooh, I've got to have Hunter Renfro.
But.
And his one triple, three home runs, 15 RBIs. He's hitting .266. And he's only got 64 at-bats.
By the way, this is the Jake Lamb syndrome for Hunter Renfro. Dude cannot hit right-handed pitching. He's a left-handed pitching guy. And that's his problem. He can play, again, serviceable defensively. He's
a right fielder, man,
like,
period.
He can do it, you know. But he's got to be a great hitter to get by with just being okay in the outfield. And that's why I say I'm not quite ready to cut him loose yet. I would give him a little more time, and I would probably give him this season. And if this season he can't figure it out, make the adjustment, and change his approach and, like, you know, work on stuff, okay,
yeah.
Then I'd let him go.
Perella, no. Hosmer, Galvis, Villanueva, Margot, Franchi Cordero, absolutely.
All those are staying.
Austin Hedges, I think, is a problem now that he's hurt, and he wasn't really hitting before he got hurt. So
yeah,
we'll,
but he's a catcher. You don't have to hit as a catcher.
Correct. But, like, I just think there's not a lot of guys on this team where you're like, ooh, got to keep Will Myers.
I would trade him.
I would trade him, too.
He's got huge value.
I would absolutely trade him. You know,
you're telling me a contender wouldn't take Will Myers?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, Julio Teheran looks hurt for the Braves. Oh, that'd be bad for the Atlanta Braves.
Isn't he a TJ guy?
I don't remember if he's had TJ.
I feel like he has.
Well, he's a pitcher. He's probably had TJ.
They all have, right?
Boy, if he's hurt, if Julio Teheran is hurt for the Braves, that might be that injury you're talking about. You know? Like, oh, he's got a blister.
That's a finger thing. Okay. Yeah, here all right, chill. We're
much
good.
Better.
We're good.
Anyway, my point is, I'm just looking at some of the guys, I get it. As baseball fans, we're all emotional. You can't be emotional about guys like Perella.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would be emotional about. But Hunter Renfro, are you telling me that you're going to play Hunter Renfro instead of Franchy Cordero, Manuel Margot? No, you're not doing that. Franmil Reyes, Hunter Renfro or Franmil Reyes right now? I'm going to play Reyes. Right? That's the right thing to do for them. Play Reyes. Don't play. Let Renfro be a fourth or fifth outfielder. You've got what happens when Will Myers comes back? When Cordero and Myers come back? Okay, I'm going to assume that Franchi's a lefty, left fielder. Will Myers will play right. Margot will play center.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, well, how many outfielders are you going to carry? Are you going to carry, you know, Franmil Reyes, Hunter Renfro? Are you going to keep six outfielders?
No.
Matt Caesar, seven outfielders?
No.
Like, you're going to have to make some tough decisions. And at some point,
that's the thing.
Perella's even playing
that
outfield.
Tough a decision. Like, I Jankowski? Feel like it's being... No, that's not
you've
a tough decision,
but you've
dude.
Got nine outfielders.
But that's what I'm saying. Guys like Jankowski are the perfect example.
Trade him. Because
trade
he's
him.
Got trade value.
But that's what I'm saying. He's produced this year. That doesn't mean you keep him. This is the backward logic.
It's rough.
That logic... Like, saying a guy... Oh, he's produced. Jankowski's produced, so we're going to keep him. Is you saying the Padres are contenders this year? And they're not,
They're not.
So, when a guy produces... Trade him and get pieces back.
And this conversation has been, will they be buyers or sellers at the deadline? And you damn well
better be
sellers.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Trade high, sell high. Because you're having a good night in the draft. You got a pitcher and a shortstop already. Like, I mean, you're doing good things.
Yep.
Sell high. That's all I'm saying.
Good
so
talk.
We're
good
an
talk.
Hour and 9 minutes into the show.
Excellent
now.
Talk.
Yeah. The last time I looked at it, it was 35 minutes. Now it's an hour and 9 minutes. We should probably stop.
Okay, let me get the old music machine out here.
Jake needs his rest. He's a big-time recruiter now.
All right, music's on now. Can you turn it on?
He's a big-time recruiter. You're a big-time recruiter now.
Yeah,
like,
cool.
He has to dress well. Jake's an adult. He bought hangers yesterday because he has to... Are you ready for this, folks? Jake has to iron his clothes now.
Damn it.
Good job, Jake.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Right.
All right. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You can find us on the iHeartRadio app, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher. It's all good. The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. See you tomorrow. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake. I'm always looking for you.